Assalamu alaikum, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Muslimah Podcast. First of all, I just want to wish you all Ramadan Mubarak. Wherever you are in the world, I hope your month is filled with peace, blessings, and tranquility, and that all of your du'as are answered. Today's episode I'm really excited for. We're going to be talking to my friend Ritha. You may know her from TikTok at Free Spirit Ritha. I've known Ritha since my freshman year of college. We met during orientation week. I brought her on the podcast today to talk about her experience being the MSA president, leading the ICNYU community during Ramadan. It's been a very busy Ramadan since everyone's coming back from COVID, the behind the scenes of her TikTok, as well as just balancing her life and how it feels to be graduating soon. I hope you all enjoy the episode. Let's get started. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Muslimah Podcast. I have here with me today Ritha Ali. I'm so excited to have her. I've known her since my freshman year. So Ritha, just introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me, Asma. I am Ritha, as Asma mentioned. I am a senior at NYU. That's how me and Asma know each other. And I am president of NYU's MSA. I'm majoring in global studies. My concentration within that is politics, human rights, and urban development. And then I'm minoring in media and South Asian studies, which is like a mouthful. And yeah, I'm really excited to be on the podcast, Asma.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ritha. Something you may not know about Ritha is that actually the cover art of this podcast was drawn by her. I was looking for somebody to like draw a nice cover art when I first started this podcast 2 years ago. And Ritha is like has, you know, a talent for digital art. So I asked her to draw it for me. So she's the one who drew it, which is kind of a little bit of a fun fact. So today we are recording. We're about 1/3 of the way into Ramadan 2022. And it's been really busy for the both of us. Especially for Ritha, you know, running Ramadan as NYU has reopened and as New York City has reopened. So Ritha, how has your Ramadan been going so far?
Yeah, I love this question so much because I think that it definitely is double-sided. I think there's such a blessing, and I'm sure everybody feels this way in the way Ramadan has felt this year, because it's honestly the first normal Ramadan that I've had in 2 years. And I can't tell you how it felt to walk into the first night of Ramadan and see like 100 people again and have that feeling of being around a community. So it's definitely been busy because like as like being an NYU student and being involved in the MSA, like required to be there like every night and volunteer. It's honestly a labor of love, in my opinion, because you're doing it because you love it and because at the end of every night you feel very fulfilled in your soul. And I personally believe that like being a part of a community is essential to worshiping God, because you're like learning more about how other people see him, which makes you understand how you see God yourself. So I think that, yeah, it's been like really amazing, stressful, but like the best kind of stressful, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I was there on the first night of Ramadan too, and I walked into like that like fifth floor at NYU, and I hadn't been there in like so long, and the room was just like full, and I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, so I definitely relate to what you're feeling. So like kind of on that note, how have you been able to balance like working on your own faith while also having like school and work and event planning? So how has that been going for you so far in Ramadan, but also just generally too?
Yeah, I think that this was something I really had to get adjusted to when I became MSA president at the beginning of the year. But even before that, I think like I tend to get really excited and passionate about what I'm doing and really want to put my all into it. But for me, I think that none of it is really separated, you know, like what I'm studying at school has a lot to do with like the conversations that I want to have within the MSA too. Like, how does human rights intersect with Islam? So for me, I'm just constantly learning, and that's a part of the college experience. Like organizing events is a part of learning more about the world around me. So I think about that and try to prioritize it in that way. In terms of staying balanced, I think that it's really important to center God in everything that you're doing. And when I started doing this, I noticed such a huge difference, because I've just made my whole schedule surrounding prayer times and surrounding like that first. And it really organizes everything in such a nice and beautiful way, because you get centered every time you take a break to reflect or think about, you know, the month that you're in or even the work that you're doing. So yeah, that's kind of just how I try to keep balance.
Yeah, that's amazing, mashallah, that you're able to balance all that. And I agree with the balancing it with your prayer times. That really adds so much like tranquility to your day, honestly. So going to NYU, where the city is your campus, it's definitely not like a traditional or typical college experience. What have you learned from living in the city for 4 years, and has it given you a different outlook?
Yeah, I have to say yes for this question. I think that like I'm from like a suburb in Virginia, and moving to New York, I learned so much. And I think nobody knows everything. And like coming into school, you learn so much about the biases that you had growing up. And even just the fact that there's so many people coming from so many different walks of life around you. I think coming into NYU, I really learned to what it means to engage with not only the city around me, but the world around me. I never had been in a Muslim community or in a community at all where we weren't only focused on ourselves and our spirituality and our iftar and what was going to be for, you know, food that night. We were focused on raising money for people who are suffering from COVID across the city. And I think that that's so beautiful in the sense of, you know, the city is our campus, but it's also important for us to look left and right and see our impact on it as well. And I think that that's been such a powerful aspect of my college experience for me. Even with MSA, just to give you an example, we are doing a project every week of Ramadan to help others. And next week's project is the Billion Oyster Project. And basically, we're depositing oysters in the Hudson River because oysters clean up the water. And that in itself, I think, is practicing Islam in a way, because you're helping take care of God's creation around you. And that has really, this, all of these like activities and incorporations of God in my day-to-day life have made me realize like how lucky I am to be in a place where we have the opportunity to do things like this, and also meet people who are engaging with Islam in different ways than you, and engaging with the world in different ways than you. And that pushes you to rethink, you know, and reimagine, what is my role in all of this? And that has been the most life-changing thing for me. I didn't know how to organize events. I didn't know how to, you know, advocate for things. I didn't know how to create sustainable change until I came to New York and I met all these people who are doing it in so many different ways. And that really pushed me to, you know, get motivated. And I'm sure you feel this way, Asma, too. Like, even at NYU, there is so many different people doing different things on a different level. Like you, for example, you told me earlier you're working for Yaqeen Institute, and I'm, you know, doing something on my level. And then I know someone tomorrow who's volunteering at the domestic violence shelter uptown. So I think that that's like so beautiful, because I'm meeting people who are giving me more ideas on how I can better the world around me, and, you know, how I can be a part of different things. And I think that that's definitely something that I took away from the college experience in New York and NYU.
Absolutely. That was so beautifully said, Ritha, like better than I could have ever said it. So mashallah, I totally agree. Like meeting people from like literally all walks of life was just so, so eye-opening. I definitely agree. So throughout your 4 years, I know something you're really passionate about is amplifying like marginalized voices, and mashallah, you've done a really great job advocating for like so many different causes, as you kind of touched on before. So what keeps you going in like this advocacy and activism realm?
Yeah, thank you so much, first of all, for the compliment and saying that I did a good job. I think that there's still so much left, but it really means a lot when people who have been there, I think that you're one of the people who's been there since we started freshman year, and you've seen like the change that, you know, the Muslim community and like the student community's had, and how people learn and grow. And I think that for me, it definitely is always an uphill battle, because especially when you're in such a large world with so many voices coming from so many different directions, it's really easy to feel drowned out and feel like your work isn't meaningful, or, you know, you're advocating for something one day and then it's out of the news in a matter of 2 weeks. I mean, look at Afghanistan, look at the protests that happened over George Floyd. They were such a big deal. And, you know, now there's like 20 other things in the news. And I think that's how the world works. But I think that's something we ground ourselves in is, you know, for me, as long as I pick one thing that I want to see a difference in and I set that goal, and, you know, even if one person is impacted and one person feels more included in the community, then I feel like that's worth it. You know, I think that we've never been a community of numbers, but we've been a community of organizing. I don't think we'll ever have more numbers than people or politicians or policies that, you know, are marginalizing us or isolating us, but we will have the hope and the resilience and like the power and the mobilization. And I think that's the really beautiful thing about the Muslim community. I also think the second part to this question has literally been, you know, like, I don't know everything and I'm always learning and I'm always checking myself. And I think it's so important that we hold ourselves accountable and be open to learning and checking our biases. You know, I'm like a senior in college now, and you know, I hear something sometimes that someone's saying to me, like in a Muslim space, and I'm like, you know, I had no idea that this is what, you know, this identity group has to go through. I didn't know that this person went through this experience. So it's always a reminder to stay humble and also realize that we have so much privilege. I have so much privilege not being a Black Muslim. I have so much privilege even being at NYU and being able to talk about this community in this very, like, you know, glamorized, romanticized way, because there's a lot of Muslims who don't have a community, who are sitting in the middle of a city that's, you know, only full of non-Muslims. They don't have anyone to break fast with. So I think it's all about thinking about those experiences. I think that that's like the one thing I want to emphasize, is like reflecting on where we are and, you know, what we have and, you know, what we can learn about people who don't have as much as us and who are different from us, and then take steps to amplify their voices and really see how we can make them feel included and have a seat at our, like, table as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing. And I agree, it's definitely a lot of, like, reflecting on your own, like, you know, biases, your own privileges. And, like, we're always in a state of learning. I feel like people, you know, they really start to go off the wrong path when they think that they know everything. So you're definitely right. Like, we have to keep learning and advocating for those people that, you know, might not have as much as we do. So one of the other things I wanted to touch on, Ritha, you may know Ritha from TikTok or Instagram at Free Spirit Ritha. I know that your TikTok page and your Instagram, like, really took off, like, you know, in college, especially during COVID. So take us behind the scenes of your TikTok page. How did you start it? What inspired you, and how has it been going so far?
Yeah, this is such a funny question. Like, I feel like it's so weird, dude, because, like, you've known me since freshman year, and it's weird when people, like, now know you as someone who, like, makes TikTok videos.
Yeah,
like, it's just interesting because, like, I didn't make them because I wanted to make them to, like, get a following or anything, and I don't even think I have, like, a following, to be honest. There's people have, like, 100,000 and, like, 200,000, so, like, I'm just, like, having fun. But I actually started during COVID because I was on campus junior year when it was, like, literally nothing to do, just, like, online classes. So I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna start recording my day. And there's no Muslims on TikTok talking about what they do every day. There's no, like, vlogs where a person gets up for Fajr to pray. Or if there are, there's, like, a very limited amount. Like, I always watched vlogs where people were like, yeah, and then I did this and that. But I was like, well, I mean, why would we not have, like, a Muslim vlogging and showing what they're doing? So I was like, okay, like, I think it's really cool that I get to, like, do this as a Muslim at NYU. So I started making videos. And, like, it really just, like, fell into my lap, and, like, people just started watching and commenting. And I think the funnest part for me was really just getting to share this experience of being in New York as a Muslim student at NYU. I always say, like, everybody should treat their life like it's a movie. Like, I always, like, joke around about that. But I think that, like, it's actually such a blessing to be able to hang out with friends and, like, rejoice in Ramadan, especially after that experience of COVID where we all got sent home and we weren't able to do that. So every time I'm able to, I just take a step back and I'm like, wow, this is actually something that's really special and something that should be, like, remembered and looked back at. So I just started making vlogs, and then it kind of shifted more into, you know, even, like, talking about things that really matter. I started, like, vlogging more important experiences that I was having, like going to a protest for Palestine, or even, you know, like going to, like, an MSA event and talking about, like, what even is MSA, and, like, people from Iowa and, like, Ohio and places where there are no MSAs were commenting. They were like, how do you start an MSA at your school? So I think that it, like, it's fun because the world really is interconnected, and you have these conversations about being Muslim with people who are so far away and, like, want to talk about it and they can't with anybody around them. So I think that that's, like, one of the most special parts of it for me. And yeah, I definitely want to now use it as, like, a way to, I really love the idea of, like, telling stories, like, you know, like, going around New York, talking about, like, Muslim owned businesses, talking about what it means to be a Muslim in, like, a big city, looking for a job while you're a Muslim and trying to find something that's ethical, holding true to your values, things like that, I think could be really cool. I'm honestly just having fun with it. If And the fact that even like 10 people watch, that's like really fun to me. And like, even like if they get anything out of it or they feel like, oh, you know what, like I want to move, I'm moving to New York soon. And like, if it seems like there's a huge Muslim community from this person's vlogs, then that excites them and that excites me, you know, like it's definitely just something that I'm having fun with. And I'm really excited about just like doing as like a side thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think your account is like a little pocket of joy, mashallah. You're definitely treating your life like a movie, like as you should, honestly. It's so beautiful how it started and you're just like having a good time as you're doing it. And I'm excited to see where it goes, like as you continue, as you graduate. Like definitely keep it up. I love like seeing what's going on. I wasn't on campus that year, because it just like didn't make sense for me to move back at that point. So I remember like watching Ritha's vlogs and being like, oh my god, I wish I was back in the city. But yeah, they're so cute, mashallah. So the last question that I have for you, Ritha, that I kind of ask at the end of every episode is, what's one piece of advice for, you know, a young Muslim woman, maybe she's in college, what's one piece of advice that you have for her?
This is a good one. I think that for me, I'm going to take this as like something that I would tell myself.
Absolutely.
I think that, and then I think that, yeah, a lot of people will relate to it because a lot of people have this experience. I think for me growing up, a lot of being like a first gen Muslim woman is trying to get by, and like, we have to go to school to get good grades. We have to go to college to get a job. But I think that this really like is conveyed now in a lot of the things that I do and the way that I think. No, go to college to have fun. Like, go to college to like have the experiences that your parents didn't get to have because they came here for you. Like, go and do things just for the sake of doing them, because that's what life is for. Life isn't meant to like go to college just to sit in a classroom and digest that information so you can get a diploma. Like, you're so lucky to be sitting in a classroom at NYU or at, you know, wherever school that you're at, and like get this education and interact with other people who are very different than you, and like even participate in extracurricular activities. When my mom was in college, she had kids. She had to like go home after class. She didn't have like these extracurricular activities that I have. So I think that for me, it's all about like, now it's time for us to like push past that notion of, we need to do this to get representation. We need to do that to get a job. We need to do this because we need to fight against, you know, policies, which is important, yes. But we should start doing things because we are finally like establishing ourselves as a group and as an identity in this country and in our colleges and on our campuses. And it's time to like really define what it means to be a Muslim on our own terms, not as a reaction to Islamophobia, not as a reaction to, you know, trying to please like the generation above us. Like, now it's time for us to define what Islam means, what being a Muslim means, and what being a Muslim who's growing up in this country means on our own like account and through our own experiences and like going into what we want to go into. So I think that that's something that I would tell myself, like starting college, is, you know, stop trying to follow a template or a rubric or what you think you should be doing. You are like smart enough to like take your experiences and make something completely new and creative out of them, which I think is what I started doing senior year. And now I feel so happy and excited, and I have fun being a Muslim and being, you know, like myself, because now I'm doing things on my own terms. And like, I am totally okay with figuring out what I want to do after college and not worrying about like whether it's going to meet the needs of, you know, this stereotype or that stereotype. So
absolutely. That was so beautiful, Ritha. I think that we definitely are sometimes like in these, you know, stereotypes, or, you know, we're always in the defensive because we feel like there are like these, you know, things thrown at us and we have to like prove people wrong. And there's always like a higher mission. But you're right. Like, sometimes we just need to take a step back and be like, well, what do I enjoy? What fulfills me as a person? It's not always about, you know, especially as hijabis, like we are so visibly Muslim that we're always so worried about, you know, what are people going to think of me? Like, I have to be nice all the time. I always have to be smiling. You know, like, I think that it definitely takes a toll internally. So just kind of letting go of those, you know, stereotypes, that generational expectation, is so, so true. That was amazing advice. So thank you so much, Ritha, for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having me, and also like asking really good questions. I think that something that I always admire about people who actually have like good podcasts and like interview questions is like, you didn't ask me like, oh, what does it mean to be like, how do you combat like Islamophobia. Like, I think that, like, there's, like, a set of questions that are always asked to Muslim people, but I think that it's really cool that you asked about, like, you know, Ramadan and being, like, a student. So thank you for asking good questions and, like, making a meaningful conversation out of it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much, Ridha. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Asma.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Muslima Podcast. To stay updated, make sure to follow us on Instagram at muslima.podcast. And if you enjoy listening, make sure to leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much and see you next week.